A man is walking through a field. As he walks along, his foot bumps into a piece of wood sticking up out of the field. He bends down, and it looks like a chest or a box, and so he begins to dig around it, and digs enough so he can open it. And as he opens the chest, he's amazed to see it just filled with beautiful jewels,
with precious gems,
with gold and with silver. It's a treasure that he's found in his field. Well, the man covers it up, covers the chest up with dirt, and then he goes out and inquires. He wants to find out who owns this field. So he finds out who the owner is. He goes to him and he says, I want to buy that field. They settle on a price. He buys the field, and then he goes to the field that he now owns, and he digs up that treasure that he had discovered, and of course he feels his purchase has been well worthwhile. Now that's basically the parable that Jesus tells us in Matthew 13. It's a parable of buying this field in order to get the treasure. He says it's, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Interesting parable. We mentioned last time that a very common view, many commentaries will present this view, that this pictures a sinner who now is looking for the gospel, who's looking for God's truth, and who searches and searches, and finally he sells everything he has, and he goes and he buys that field. But that isn't the way the Bible presents sinners. Sinners are not presented in the Bible, and we don't find it true in life, that we find sinners going about looking for God. How many people that you know are sincerely going up and down the street saying, oh, I want to know God. I wish someone could tell me how my sins could be forgiven. Searching for God? No, the opposite is presented actually in Scripture, and we'll notice this in other parables too when we get into the Gospel of Luke, that the Lord is the one who is pictured as the one searching. What then is the meaning of this parable? Well, I think as in other cases, the man who is mentioned is the Lord Jesus. So carrying through in that symbolism, we can say, well, here also it's the Lord Jesus who's pictured. He's the man who does the buying. And what is the impact then of this parable? What is the point of it? Well, there's several truths brought out. The man gives up everything to make this purchase. And certainly we can say of the Lord Jesus. And I believe he was thinking of himself here. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He became poor. Poor, terribly poor, in order to save us. Philippians 2 brings this out so beautifully, doesn't it? When it speaks of him, although he was in the form of God, he thought it not a robbery or a thing to be clung to be equal with God, but he emptied himself, or made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, took the lowest place. That's the whole impact of that passage. He gave up everything. Left the glory of heaven. Left the joy of the Father's presence and of holiness. Come down to the squalid atmosphere of this earth. And to be born in a very poor home. A very poor home in Bethlehem. You remember the situation. They were there temporarily for the census, and they couldn't even afford a decent place, and they ended up in a barn, and he's born in a stable And his first bed was a manger. How poor he became. And that's the picture of our Lord Jesus in his great coming, giving up everything in order that he might redeem us. I hope that grips your heart today. I hope that something of the wonder you see here of God's love and of God's grace has gripped your heart. How wonderful it is that he loved us enough to do that. And Jesus, well, although he was rich, he became poor for our sake. And so he was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, a very simple, poor home. His stepfather, a carpenter, he worked with his hands, learned to read and write in the synagogue, but one of the poorer families of Nazareth. He became poor. Now, this parable, I think, emphasizes the scope of the purchase. He purchased a lot in order to get, we'll say, something within that that had value. And we can say of Jesus and of God, for example, God the Father, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. So the scope of the purchase is the world. 1 Timothy 2:6 describes him as giving his life a ransom for all. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I believe that when Christ died on the cross, his death was adequate payment for the sins of the whole world. He comes with a great heart of compassion and concern, and he gives his life. He pays for the sins of the whole world. Although he realizes not all will turn to him, not all will accept him, not all will repent and turn to him in genuine faith, but he pays a ransom. He gives his life, and it's adequate payment for the sins of the whole world. In a sense, we could say he bought the whole world. He bought all of mankind, potentially. All can be saved now. Now, in that field, there is a treasure. There's a treasure that he wants. Now, what is that treasure? I was interested in reading in the Psalms this morning. And in Psalm 83, in this translation, says, they make shrewd plans against thy people and conspire together against thy treasured ones. Thy treasured ones. And God's people are spoken of in the Old Testament as his treasure and as his pride and as his joy. And in the New Testament, those who are redeemed are spoken of as his treasure. So he buys the whole world. He pays for the sins of the whole world. In order to get this treasure, there's going to be out of the world a group of people, men and women, and boys and girls, who have accepted him, who trusted him, who belong to him, who are going to be his and his forever. And he's willing to pay that tremendous price for the whole field in order to get his people, these who will turn to him and who will be saved. The scope of the purchase. Oh, the wonderful love of God. And I'm glad there's adequate provision. You know, there's a teaching that says that actually Christ just died for the elect, that God predestined some to be saved, and he predestined some to go to hell, and that man has really no choice, and that if he does not put his hand upon you, and if you're not chosen by him, there's no hope. But I believe this scripture emphasizes God has a concern for all. And when John says, God so loved the world, I believe that. And I believe his love was so great that he made adequate provision, you see, for everyone to be saved. And I believe I can go to any person and say, listen, Christ has died for you, for your sins. The payment has been made. It's adequate payment. Adequate payment for the sins of the whole world. Oh, what a death it was. Because he gave all that he had. He sold all that he had and bought that freedom. And Jesus sold everything. Gave up everything in order to pay for our sins. In order that out of this whole world there might be a people who would turn to him and trust him and be his forever, his treasure. What a cost. He hung on that cross. They stripped his garments from him. The soldiers were gambling over his coat. And he hung there in nakedness and shame. He hung there with his back lacerated by the whip. And he hung there under the hot sun, thirsty, nailed to his hands and to his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. Ah, the payment, the cost, the tremendous cost involved. I want to say this, though, that the Lord Jesus is willing to do it. And that the Lord Jesus says it's worth it. That the Lord Jesus really says, I'm glad I've done it. Hebrews tells us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And I hope today that you can say, I trusted the Lord Jesus. I'm part of this treasure. And that he is glad as he looks at me, and Jesus can say it was worth it all to save you. Is he your savior today?